Will you bow with me as I say a prayer with offering? Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this day. We thank you for a beautiful day and all the beauty around us. A wonderful place to worship you. We thank you, Lord, for the money that we've received this day, and ask that we will be able to use it in a way that will be pleasing to you. I ask that you'll bless those that give it. And I pray these things, Lord, in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.
Again this morning, we would welcome you. Those serving this morning is Glenn Hughes, will bring our invocation, and Roger Raish will bring our benediction, and priest Peter Tripp will bring the spoken word. Our scripture this morning comes from Luke, the 6th chapter, starting with the 46th verse. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man who builds a house and diggeth deep and lay the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat violently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he who heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation buildeth a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of the house was great. Would you turn in your hymns to hymn number 236 for our opening hymn?
pray. Dear Father in heaven, we just come before you at this time and offer ourselves to you. And we just pray that your Spirit will stay with us and be amongst us, and we might have those blessings which you would have desires to have. We pray that you would be with our brother Peter this morning as he brings that word that you would want us to hear, and that you would bless him, and that we will all go away knowing that your word is the truth word, and your love for us is forever. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For a scripture lesson this morning, I'd like to read from Alma, chapter 16, verse 219. Yea, humble yourselves and continue in prayer unto him. Cry unto him when ye are in your fields, yea, over all your flocks. Cry unto him in your houses, yea, over all your household, both morning, midday, and evening. Yea, cry unto him against the power of your enemies. Yea, cry unto him against the devil, who is an enemy to all righteousness.
Would you turn in your hymns to hymn number 241 and remain seated?
Today, I'd like to talk about prayer and the importance that it has in our lives and the role it plays in how we love God and each other. And I'll be honest up front, a lot of this, what I found, was off centerplace.org, so don't, I think that I'm smart enough to come up with this on my own, so, and a lot of this is scripture, so if you have your scriptures and you'd like to follow along, I actually have them typed out so I can turn to them very quickly, and it might take you a little bit longer, so if you can't get turned to them, you might just write them down, or I could even give them to you after the service. I think the first thing, that we have to do when talking about prayer is identify what prayer is. And in addition to that, the first question that's asked is, why does God love us? And for that answer, we can look at 1 John chapter 4, verses 7, 8, and 16. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. And how do we know that God loves us? Of course, we all know the famous scripture, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoso believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then also from 1 John 4:9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. So now that we've established that side of the relationship from God's standpoint, we also have to look at from our perspective and why we love God. And we can find that again in 1 John chapter 4, this time in verse 19. And it says that we love him because he first loved us. And we probably can equate that relationship with the relationship that we have with our parents. A lot of the love that we have for our parents is our reaction to them loving us. And I think it's the same way with God, or it should be. And keeping his commandments, we do that because we love him, and the next question that's asked is, what must our attitude be towards God and his kingdom? Mark chapter 10, verse 13. Verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And also 3 Nephi 39 and 40. And again, I say unto you, ye must repent, and become as a little child, and be baptized in my name, or ye can in no wise receive these things. And again, I say unto you, ye must repent, and be baptized in my name, and become as a little child, or ye can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. Why do we pray? I think with most of the things we do in life, we typically ask that question, why do we do certain things? So let's take a look at how that pertains to prayer. John 14, 15, and 21, and 23. If you love me, keep my commandments. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he is it that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. and Isaiah 55:8-9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I think a struggle we have often is, what should we pray for? And I think sometimes it's okay if that's our prayer to God. God, what should I pray for? And oftentimes I find by the Spirit, God impressing upon me what I should pray for. And even in the course of a prayer, changing what I might be praying for. In Doctrine and Covenants 9:3, we read this: Behold, you have not understood. You have supposed that I would give it unto you, when you took no thought, save it was to ask me. But behold, I say unto you, that you must study it out in your mind. Then you must ask me if it be right, and if it is right, I will cause that your bosom shall burn within you. Therefore you shall feel that it is right. But if it not be right, you shall have no such feelings, but you shall have a stupor of thought that shall cause you to forget the thing which is wrong. Therefore, and this is talking to Oliver Cowdery, therefore, you cannot write that which is sacred, save it be given you from me. What should our attitude be towards God's work? Doctrine and Covenants 58:6d. Verily I say unto you, verily I say, men should be anxiously engaged in a good cause, and do many things of their own free will, and bring to pass much righteousness, for the power is in them, wherein they are agents unto themselves. I think that's part of what our prayer should be each day, in that process of wanting to do good works and be anxiously engaged in a good cause. I think we need to be asking God for his direction, not just before we do something, but also in the process of accomplishing his work. And we can read about that also in Doctrine and Covenants. Well, it's the same scripture pretty much. For behold, it is not meet that I should command in all things, for he that is compelled in all things, the same as a slothful and not a wise servant, wherefore he receiveth no reward. And a lot of the early Doctrine and Covenants revelations have to do with direction giving to the church. And this was one of God's answers to the church, and specifically to the elders in that day. Doctrine and Covenants 6:3a. Now as you have asked, behold, I say unto you, keep my commandments to seek to bring forth and establish the cause of Zion. Seek not for riches, but for wisdom, and behold, the mysteries of God shall be unfolded unto you, and then shall you be made rich. Behold, he that hath eternal life is rich. And we read the similar thing in three other verses. In section 10:3a, now as you have asked, behold, I say unto you, keep my commandments, and seek to bring forth and establish the cause of Zion. Seek not for riches, but for wisdom, and behold, the mysteries of God shall be unfolded unto you, and then shall ye be made rich. Behold, he that hath eternal life is rich. In section 11:3a, now as you have asked, behold, I say unto you, keep my commandments, and seek to bring forth and establish the cause of Zion. And it just keeps repeating throughout the scriptures. Section 12, seek to bring forth and establish my Zion. Keep my commandments in all things, and if you keep my commandments and endure to the end, you shall have eternal life, which gift is the greatest of all the gifts of God. So we've kind of established that God really wants us to pray, and he wants us to keep his commandments, with prayer being one of those. So the next thing we should look at is when to pray. And the scripture I read for our scripture lesson today, Amos 16:2-19, I'll go ahead and read that again. Yea, humble yourselves and continue in prayer unto him. Cry unto him when you are in your fields, yea, over all your flocks. Cry unto him in your houses, yea, over all your household, both morning, midday, and evening. Yea, cry unto him against the power of your enemies. Yea, cry unto him against the devil, who is an enemy to all righteousness. And then, when can we pray and expect to be heard? We also can find an answer to that question in Alma 16, verses 177 to 182. Do ye remember to have read what Zenos the prophet of old has said concerning prayer or worship? For he said, Thou art merciful, O God, for thou hast heard my prayer, even when I was in the wilderness. Yea, thou wast merciful when I prayed concerning those who were mine enemies, and thou didst turn them to me. Yea, O God, and thou wast merciful unto me when I did cry unto thee in my field, when I did cry unto thee in my prayer, and thou didst hear me. And again, O God, when I did turn to my house, thou didst hear me in my prayer. And when I did turn unto my closet, O Lord, and prayed unto thee, thou didst hear me. Yea, thou art merciful unto thy children when they cry unto thee to be heard of thee, and not of men, and thou wilt hear them. Yea, O God, thou hast been merciful unto me, and heard my cries in the midst of thy congregations. Yea, and thou hast also heard me when I have been cast out and have been despised by mine enemies. Yea, thou didst hear my cries, and wast angry with mine enemies, and thou didst visit them in anger with speedy destruction, and thou didst hear me because of mine afflictions and my sincerity. And it is because of thy Son that thou hast been thus merciful unto me. Therefore I will cry unto thee in all mine afflictions, for in thee is my joy, for thou hast turned thy judgments away from me because of thy Son. It's pretty easy for me anyway to be by myself and be able to pray, specifically because I live by myself. But sometimes we do have to take a little bit more extra effort to kind of step away from the world, maybe spend a little bit less time with our friends and some of the things that we entertain ourselves with. To take time to pray and to go to God and to commune with him. Probably the most interesting place that I've prayed that I can think of recently is the place I used to work. For some of the doors, you had to have a key card to get into. And one of those doors, only a limited amount of people had access to. And to get to that door, you had to walk through another door. So if I ever needed to go pray, I would go into that room. And, of course, I was working too. So, it was just a quiet place and probably the most uncommon place that you could think of, in a plant with 2,000 people to go and find and just to talk to God for a couple minutes. Third Nephi mentions in whose name we pray. That's Third Nephi chapter 8, verses 51 and 52. For Satan desireth to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Therefore ye must always pray unto the Father in my name. And whatsoever ye ask the Father in my name, which is right, believing that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be given unto you. Pray in your families unto the Father, always in my name, that your wives and your children may be blessed. And what might we accompany our prayers with? Alma 4:6. Nevertheless, the children of God were commanded that they should gather themselves together oft, and join in fasting and mighty prayer in behalf of the welfare of those who knew not God. Fasting is probably the tough one for me. I like to eat. I'm not going to lie about that. But I feel like that kind of takes our prayer life to an extra level when we do that, and we take our time to organize ourselves to that singular focal point of concentrating on our relationship with God and how we might draw closer to Him. And before we perform any task for the Lord, what should we do? And 2 Nephi 14:12 tells us, Behold, I say unto you that ye must pray always and not faint, that ye must not perform anything unto the Lord, save in the first place ye shall pray unto the Father in the name of Christ, that he will consecrate thy performance unto thee, that thy performance may be for the welfare of thy soul. And the next thing that we could discuss about prayer is, what should we pray about? In Alma 16, in addition to the scripture I read before about how often we should pray, Alma also suggests where we should pray and what we should pray about. 16:220. Cry unto him over the crops of your fields, that ye may prosper in them. Cry over the flocks of your fields, that ye may that they may increase. But this is not all. Ye must pour out your souls in your closets, in your secret places, and in your wilderness. Yea, and when you do not cry unto the Lord, let your hearts be full, drawn out in prayer unto him continually for your welfare, and also for the welfare of those who are around you. Obviously, I think the majority of the people here don't have flocks of sheep at their homes or fields that they have to pray over. But we do have our food, and we do have the things. We have our homes, and we have the people in our lives that are important to us to pray for and about. And what should our first concern be when praying? And Matthew 6:38. Wherefore, seek not the things of this world, but seek ye first to build up the kingdom of God and to establish his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In that verse, it doesn't specifically mention praying for the kingdom and praying for his righteousness, but it kind of alludes to it in our discussion here this morning. Obviously, when we're praying, that's one of the things that we need to be praying for. When Christ taught his disciples to pray, that's one of that thy kingdom come and that thy will be done on earth and heaven. What part does faith play in prayer? James 1:5-7. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven from the wind and tossed. For let not that man should think, For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. And an example of prayer and a person praying in their life in the scriptures is found in Enos chapter 1, verse 1 through 22. Behold, it came to pass that I, Enos, knowing my father, that he was a just man, for he taught me in his language, and also in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and blessed be the name of my God for it. And I will tell you of the wrestle which I had before God, before I received a remission of my sins. Behold, I went to hunt beasts in the forest, and the words which I had often heard my father speak concerning eternal life and the joy of the saints sunk deep into my heart. And my soul hungered, and I kneeled down before my Maker, and I cried unto him in mighty prayer and supplication for mine own soul. And all the day long did I cry unto him. Yea, and when the night came, I did still raise my voice high, that it reached the heavens. And there came a voice unto me, saying, Enos, thy sins are forgiven thee, and thou shalt be blessed. And I, Enos, knew that God would not lie, wherefore my guilt was swept away. And I said, Lord, how is it done? And he said unto me, because of thy faith in Christ, whom thou hast never before heard nor seen, and many years pass away before he shall manifest himself in the flesh. Wherefore, go to, thy faith hath made thee whole. Now it came to pass that when I had heard these words, I began to feel a desire for the welfare of my brethren, the Nephites. Wherefore, I did pour out my whole soul unto God for them. And while I was thus struggling in the spirit, behold, the voice of the Lord came unto my mind again, saying, I will visit thy brethren according to their diligence in keeping my commandments. I have given unto them this land, and it is a holy land, and I curse it not, save it be for the cause of iniquity. Wherefore, I will visit thy brethren according as I have said, and their transgressions will I bring down with sorrow upon their own heads. And after I, Enos, had heard these words, my faith began to be unshaken in the Lord, and I prayed unto him with many long strugglings for my brethren the Lamanites. And it came to pass that after I had prayed and labored with all diligence, the Lord said unto me, I will grant unto thee according to thy desires because of thy faith. And now, behold, this was the desire which I desired of him, that if it should be so, that my people, the Nephites, should fall into transgression, and by any means be destroyed, and the Lamanites should not be destroyed, that the Lord God would preserve a record of my people, the Nephites, even if it so be, by the power of his holy arm, that it might be brought forth at some future day unto the Lamanites, that perhaps they might be brought unto salvation. For at the present our strugglings were vain in restoring them to the true faith. And they swore in their wrath that if it were possible, they would destroy our records and us, and also all the traditions of our fathers. Will prayers help the sick? James 5:15 says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. I know that there's been times in my life where I've taken advantage of the ordinance of the laying on of hands and being able to call the elders to pray over me. I think I've never broken any bones in my body, but I seem to have still done plenty of damage to myself since I was a kid. I've managed to injure both fingers on both hands. Once when I was a kid, I accidentally shut my hand in the car door, and I remember my uncle coming over and praying over me and administering to me, and I know what a blessing that was. and that was my left hand. My right hand, I was playing soccer last year, I think. In July, I went to pick the ball up. I was playing goalie, and a guy decided to kick me in the hand when trying to go for the ball, and that dislocated one of my fingers. And again, in that case, I asked for the elders to come in to administer to me. And even though all the functionality probably isn't there still after a year, I still feel like I've been blessed greatly. When it happened, I just went through the entire list of things that I wouldn't be able to do anymore. I didn't think I'd be able to play the piano, or it's not my writing hand, but a lot of the things I do is with my right hand. I didn't think I'd be able to bowl again or play frisbee, which are really inconsequential things in the grand scheme of things, but it's always nice to be able to go and do something recreational with your friends. And so, what is the relationship of prayer to temptation? 3 Nephi 8:47-50. Verily, verily, I say unto you, you must watch and pray always, lest ye be tempted by the devil, and ye are led away captive by him. And then verse 50, and it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words unto his disciples, he turned again unto the multitude and said unto them, behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must watch and pray always, lest ye enter into temptation. I think this is one of the things that we could probably spend a little bit more time talking about in church, or at least in our families and our groups of friends. Just things that we struggle with and are tempted with in our daily lives. I think sometimes that would surprise us with some of the things that are keeping us from God and keeping us from having a good relationship with him and living the lives that we should be. Not only do I think that we need to take time praying for the temptations in our lives as separate people, but I think that taking the time to do that in groups of people and sharing that with our friends in inappropriate settings, there's struggles that guys deal with, and there's struggles with girls deal with, and sometimes it's easier to share those with specific groups. So I would encourage everyone to maybe think about that here in the next couple of days, and maybe see if that's something that you could implement in your life. And the next thing to talk about prayer is the role it has in our families. I know each person here is not living in the same situation as the next person that might be sitting next to them. I'm at home. I'm by myself. I know some people have folks at home that don't share the same convictions that they do about prayer life. And but that doesn't mean that it can't have a positive role in those other people's lives. And 3 Nephi chapter 8 says, verse 52, pray in your families unto the Father, always in my name, that your wives and your children may be blessed. And you can extend that to your husbands and to your parents, to your cousins, to whoever might be important in your life. And 1 Nephi, the very first verse in the Book of Mormon, tells us about the role parents have in the lives of the children. I, Nephi, having been born of goodly parents, therefore I was taught somewhat in all the learning of my father, and having seen many afflictions in the course of my days, nevertheless, having been highly favored of the Lord in all my days, yet, yea, having had a great knowledge of the goodness and the mysteries of God. Therefore, I make a record of my proceedings in my days. Yea, I make a record in the language of my father, which consists of the learning of the Jews and the language of the Egyptians. So what must we teach our children? Mosiah 1:4-6. And he also taught them concerning the records which were engraven on the plates of brass, saying, My sons, I would that ye should remember that were it not for these plates, which contain these records and these commandments, we must have suffered in ignorance, even at this present time, not knowing the mysteries of God. For it were not possible that our father Lehi could have remembered all these things, to have taught them to his children, except it were for the help of these plates. For he, having been taught in the language of the Egyptians, therefore he could read these engravings and teach them to his children, that thereby they could teach them to their children, and so fulfilling the commandments of God, even down to this present time. And to translate that to our day, we don't actually have plates, but we do have the scriptures, which is the same thing. We need to be studying those for our sakes and for the sake of our children, for the whoever you come in contact with. The more that we're aware of what's in the scriptures and how it applies to us and how they help us to keep the commandments of God, the better our lives are going to be and the better the lives of the people that we love and care about are going to be. In Doctrine and Covenants 68, we read of some of the other responsibilities that parents have with their children. 68, and again, insomuch as parents have children in Zion or in any of her stakes which are organized, they teach them not to understand the doctrine of repentance, faith in Christ, the Son of the living God, and of baptism and the gift of the Holy Ghost by the laying on of the hands when 8 years old, the sin be upon the heads of the parents. For this shall be a law unto the inhabitants of Zion, or in any of her stakes which are organized, and their children shall be baptized for the remission of their sins when 8 years old, and receive the laying on of the hands. And they shall also teach their children to pray, and to walk uprightly before the Lord. And the inhabitants of Zion shall also observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Answers to prayer. The example that I'll read from Matthew 14:25, it's an answer to a very short prayer, but the prayer obviously was very important. Matthew 14:25, and when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And of course, sometimes, I mean, most people here have probably experienced unanswered prayer. I would think, unless you're, I imagine that if you're so in tune with the Spirit that and you know what to pray for all the time, then all of your prayers will probably be answered. But my own personal experience, that has not happened all the time. James 4:2-3. Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. And then the other side of the coin, when looking at answered prayer, James 1:6. But last, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Of course, God wants to bless us and answer our prayers. Luke 11, 10 through 14 says, And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that who asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. And if a son shall ask bread of any of you who is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father have good gifts through the Holy Spirit to them who ask him? And Doctrine and Covenants 98:3 also talks about answers to prayers. A through C. Behold, I say unto you, there were jarrings and contentions and envyings and strifes and lustful and covetous desires among them. Therefore, by these things they polluted their inheritances. They were slow to hearken unto the voice of the Lord their God. Therefore, the Lord their God is slow to hearken unto their prayers, to answer them in the day of their trouble. In the day of their peace, they esteemed lightly my counsel, but in the day of their trouble, of necessity, they feel after me. So, as we can see, prayer definitely has a large impact on our lives. Whether we're taking an active role in praying or we're not. And sometimes we can't see the total picture at first, the impact either one has on us. When I was thinking about that this past week, I thought about when I got glasses for the first time in sixth grade. And before that, I didn't know there was any problem. I thought I could see everything just fine. But one of the things that I remember when I got my glasses was the fact that there were leaves on the trees. It just wasn't a big green blotch. That's a really simple example of how I was looking at prayer this week, but I think it's a pretty good illustration, at least for my part. And then, of course, in closing, of course, we have the perfect example, and we have the perfect teacher for how we should pray, and that was Jesus Christ. And I talked about it a little bit before, but I'd like to go ahead and read that in closing. Matthew 6, 10 through 15. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And suffer us not to be led into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Peter. We've been richly blessed this morning to have Peter speak to us. He was worried that he might have a short sermon for us, but I think it was about perfect. In closing, would you turn to hymn number 355, If Suddenly Upon the Street. Thank you.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, what an hour of worship it has been with Thee. We have felt the presence of Thy Spirit, and we have been taught by Thy servant, and we have been reminded of those things that are important to our salvation, and we thank You. May that same Spirit which has been with us this hour go with us this day and in the week ahead, that we might ponder and dwell on those things that we have heard, and that we might turn our hearts more often in prayer to Thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.